Hello, and welcome to Data Science with Sam, where we break down complex technology topics into digestible insights. I'm your host, Sam, and today we are diving deep into a fascinating world of AI agents, what they are, how they work, and where they're headed. If you have been hearing about AI agents in the last couple of months and aren't quite sure what it actually does, then this episode is for you. I'm joining with Uche Agbozi, the guest for this tonight's episode. Uche, welcome to the show. I'm very happy to have you here.
Thanks. Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it.
Before we jump onto the Q&A section, I would like to ask Uche to introduce himself to my listeners. So, Uche, if you would like to talk a little bit about yourself, then the floor is yours.
Yeah, so my background originally is electronic engineering, but I've always been involved in software. I graduated in 94. I've been involved in software engineering ever since I graduated. I've done roles as consultant, startup founder, CTO, companies of various sizes and industries. I have always been interested in AI and have always sort of, it's weaved in and out of my professional, work from a capstone program project that I did at a university, in effect using AI for scheduling factory and job shop resources, basically for manufacturing efficiency, et cetera. To try to optimize that, till now, the Gen AI explosion. So woven through, I've always, been in touch with various AI technologies, but recently, obviously, like the ChatGPT moment and all that, Gen AI and neural networks have become so important that when I left my final, the company I co-founded, one of my co-founding acquisitions or exits was an acquisition in 2020. So I had to work at the acquiring company until 2023 as a founder. And then at that point, Gen AI was all over the place and I really wanted to learn the way I do, which is to get my hands dirty, work on things. And that very soon turned into consulting engagements because there are not a lot of people like really trying to apply AI back in March 2023 to real world industry problems. So I got involved in all that. And since then, I've been doing a whole variety of things, including consulting. Mm-hmm. I've also got involved in the community. So Rocky Mountain AI Interest Group, RMAG. I'm one of the executive directors of it. We have 2,500 members in the Rocky Mountain region who come, once a month, certainly for a big meeting in Boulder. And we have all sorts of little groups, including, Denver AI. I run the AI for Startup subgroup, and I help with the AI for Engineering subgroup. So I've been involved in it from a community perspective, helping mentor local startups, local developers, local students. It's been busy.
Thanks, Uche. I mean, thanks for your enormous contribution to the AI community. Like you said, when the pivotal moment happened, when ChatGPT launched back in November 2022, who thought that it's going to get exploded like that in the last couple of years? And just pivoting to the question answer section, and mainly the topic for this episode is AI agent. We started, listening to that, rumors, something is coming in big in the AI world, or people started speculating what's next after this generative AI. And now we are in that AI agentic era or AI agents world. People are, thinking that there's so many AI agents going to come up this year and it's going to transform business like the way it never witnessed before. So talking about AI agents, I would like to just break it down in a more simpler manner for our listeners. So I would like to hear your perspectives on that. To start with, my first question for this episode is, what is this AI agent and how are AI agents different from the traditional AI systems? If you can just share your opinions on that, that would be great.
Yeah, AI agents, it's very tricky because it's one of those things where, if you ask somebody, an analogy I've used several times, if you ask somebody, back in the 80s or the 70s, what is programming? You'd get 100 different answers, right? Because it can be applied and specialized in 100 different ways. AI agents are the same way. There are so many definitions of an AI agent, and there's no right, there's no wrong. It's generally, what can we navigate to agreement upon altogether. I think the easiest way for your audience is to break it down into two broad categories, I think. One way to think of AI agents is taking like the old, well, let's start with what was before AI agents. What was before AI agents was basically like the endless, you know, chat scroll of something like ChatGPT or the sort of request loop. Sorry?
Some kind of like an AI bot or chat bot.
Yeah, it's just a bot back and forth. You have memory, you know, you can throw in documents and you have this retrieval augmented generation, which will now allow you to have like custom GPT, stuff like that. You can do all that equivalent in like OpenAI, you could do it in other models, etc. But really, it was really, the model was the Oracle and you just went back and forth and back and forth with that model that's an Oracle, you know, kind of like HAL 9000, I guess, for those who are fans of, science fiction. But the idea of AI agents, I think, can be broken into two steps, ways of thinking about it. One is that that AI oracle remains the AI oracle, but it now has the ability to change things. I guess HAL 9000 was sort of like that because it could open the pod bay doors or it could refuse to do so, as the case may be. But that ability to interact with the real world, to interact with other APIs, to like go do a web search for you on your browser, some people are calling that computer use. That's one of the main sort of definitions and concepts of AI agents out there. It's basically an AI that you're not just asking questions and getting responses to. It's actually going out, taking, finding live information, you know, from the world, and also manipulating affecting things in the world. That's one definition. Another definition, which I think is just as important, but doesn't always get as much hype, but in terms of like what's really going to move the needle and change things, I think the other definition is simply that instead of having one massive oracle, which has all the brains and, you know, is the whole source of the back and forth, you have multiple little like interacting AI models. You almost have like multiple personalities. Instead of having one massive expert at everything, you have a whole bunch of specialized experts that work with each other. They can also do things like, you know, computer use, and they can interact with the real world. They can query APIs. They can do all that. But it's more about little collaborating units of AI. Some people call that latter definition compound AI or multi-agent systems. But it's really all the same thing. And they're all kind of, I guess, anything that makes AI a little bit more sophisticated than just the back and forth chat scroll is an AI agent. It's one way of thinking of it.
No, I love the way you kind of like mentioned that the AI Oracle, it's not only kind of like just providing the information, it's also going out there. It's kind of like sensing what you want. It's making a decision on your behalf and also acting towards that goal. So it's really fascinating that how AI agents are kind of like transforming the AI world and taking us to the next level. Moving on to our next question on the related topic, what challenges do AI agents face when working together? Like you mentioned a little bit about the multi-agent system. Do you foresee any sort of like challenges they face when they work together?
Yeah, so I think the biggest challenge for multi-agent systems working together is one is control, i.e., you know, it can get really, you can get into a situation where one agent has invoked another agent, invoked the other agent, they're going back and forth like a, you know, rapid fire ping pong game, but somewhere the original intent for all the, you know, interaction between the agents is distorted or incorrect, or you don't catch errors, but, you know, obviously, computers can operate so quickly and the consequences of what they're doing can be so, you know, significant that you could have problems, spiral out of control. So I think control, making sure that there are ways to make sure that AI agent interactions don't like get into an error state that spirals out of control is probably the biggest problem. And then of course, just in general, that like sort of correctness, understanding correctness, quality assurance, etc., making sure that it's doing what it should be doing, those are real issues that we're going to have to deal with, because the consequences, with more power comes more consequences from failure, and that's a real challenge in AI agents.
No, I mean, I totally agree with you. Like, it seems like you said, with more powers come more consequences. And so somebody has to be responsible. So maybe, you know, within those AI agent system, one agent could be that kind of act like a human manager who's going to direct the traffic and making sure everything is going well. So yeah, I mean, obviously we think about AI agent systems. Sometimes we think about that, okay, it's more of like the same human ecosystem where they're kind of like working together, trying to achieve, move towards the same goal. So before I move on to the next question, I would like to remind my listeners is that if you live in Denver and the surrounding areas, please feel free to follow the Rocky Mountain AI interest group that Uche mentioned. There are tons of great work they're doing. There are so many workshops, so many like presentations they're running on a monthly basis. So I would definitely encourage you to keep an eye out on that and learn more about AI from that community, and also grow your network or meet someone like Uche who is like AI expert and doing some great stuff in this world. Moving on to our next question, how do AI agents remember things? Because as they're doing a lot of stuff, so they're kind of delegating stuff to each other and also trying to achieve some tasks, you know, like a world timely manner. So how do you kind of like memorize things? Is it like the same like a computer, like long-term memory stuff they usually have within their system, or they're kind of a different kind of like memory processes that they usually, bring forth in terms of memorizing stuff?
Yeah, I think it's a good question because it actually helps people understand one fundamental difference between traditional programs and sort of the models that can be used that AI agents can be built upon. Traditional, computer programs, they basically have processing and, control flow of the code does A, then B, then C. And then you have memory, right? You have information that you can track in memory, that the program can track in memory, and it has like disk, information that it can store to disk, etc. AI models are really in themselves just kind of almost more static. They get inputs, they process those inputs, and then they send the outputs, right? And there you can change them by training or by fine tuning, in which case you basically are getting a new model. But generally, an AI is really just processing. It's not really in itself the memory component or the storage component. But that's not a problem because what they do is interact with other memory and storage components that are already on the computer. So part of the agent interaction with other systems is storing like conversational memory. What it was the history of this conversation that I was given? And that conversational memory can be repeated. It's often like if you use, ChatGPT, it's actually being sent back to the AI model every time. So that becomes what's called conversational memory or chat memory. And then you can also like have documents that it's able to like quote from and process. It basically uses a database. It uses a separate storage, high speed retrieval so that you can store it and then you can retrieve chunks of that that information at high speed when AI and then incorporate it into what the AI is processing. So memory is basically something that the system has to be engineered to have. The AI model itself or the AI agent itself is just part of a system. And that's why there is this engineering discipline called LLM ops, large language model operations. And LLM ops is really kind of real world. If you're trying to do AI, Gen AI type applications in the real world, like for a company, for a startup, for a hobby that's gotten serious, whatever, you need, it's not just enough to have an AI model, even the smartest AI model in the world. You need an ecosystem of components, including also that memory component, including that, storage component. You can get it all from something like GPT, but that's not suitable for every project. Like something like OpenAI, something like Anthropic, that's not suitable for every project. So if you're doing multi-AI systems, you might well just be using like a database, in your local environment, in your private environment, that will be storing sensitive documents that you don't want to share. Maybe you have a local private agent that's running in that private environment. That's how memory occurs. It's through basically computer memory and computer storage.
No, I mean, that's really good. And the way actually you kind of touched upon that LLM ops, and I would definitely kind of, this is a message to the listeners who are kind of like the industry leader or enterprise IT leader, if they're planning to build some sort of an operation framework around AI agents or even any in-house LLM models that their company developing, they have to think about like how they're going to put together an LLM ops framework. Going back to Uche's comment, that's going to help the model to not only kind of memorize, the agents will also kind of like, you know, just store memory and carry out the similar processes days after days, you know, without any sort of intervention. So that's really good to know. Thanks, Uche, for your perspectives on that. Moving on to the final question of this episode is, I mean, it's kind of like more of like ethical standpoint that, like, I know the AI agents have been doing a lot of work and it has a lot of potentials to kind of like do groundbreaking work for the humanity or even society in general. But how do we make sure that AI agents actually going to help people? Like, how do we keep the balance between like the ethical and integrity as well as, you know, the technological innovation? So what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so it's that honestly is a topic that goes way beyond engineering. It goes to policy, it goes to government, it goes to ethics, it goes to education, you know, it really regulation, etc. It really is what rules are we as humans going to put in place, first of all, in terms of what is good and bad that, you know, the AI can actually, that can actually be reflected in LLM ops, in AI model design and training, etc. You know, if you think about like Isaac Asimov's three laws of robotics, you know, maybe will we have something like the three laws of robotics? You know, are we going to say these are the rules, you know, not you can't harm humans, you know, but you know, try to preserve you know, your own when it doesn't violate, you know, the laws of harming humans, etc. Those sorts of rules. And, you know, this has to be something that we figure out, first of all, what are the policies? And because that's not even so obvious or clear, right? So one person thinks of as a benefit, somebody else might think of as a harm that AI is doing, right? Just a very simple example, you know, a business person might think that it's a benefit to automate, you know, some business operations using AI, but the people whose jobs might be affected might not consider that a benefit. So that's a policy decision, right? So we decide what the policy is, and then, of course, how do we actually implement the policy? How do we make sure the AI is going to involve it? So the topic there is something called alignment. And it's a big topic in some labs more than others. Anthropic is really famous for that. Anthropic is all about alignment. We're going to try to, you know, make sure that we get the best compass we can for what likely is the ethical boundary for AI. We're going to try to build it into everything about the training so that the AI has the tendencies we want it to. It's sometimes also called constitutional AI, because if you think about how like something like the US Constitution or right constitution of, you know, any country, democracy defines like all the laws, all the government, all the policy making, all of that, you know, it's kind of like a root, just like a core, a kernel from which all that ethics and policy derives. So it's the same thing. Can we figure out a constitutional kernel from AI, which radiates into everything that the agents do to, in effect, prevent harms that, you know, that we decided we don't want? So it's massively hard problem. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I have, you know, as an engineer, you know, easy answers to that. But it is definitely something that I think your listeners should be paying attention to and making sure that we're always asking that question. We're not just always, you know, getting hyped up about the new release in AI and all the incredible things it can do, but also wondering how is alignment going to work with all these new developments in AI?
No, definitely can't agree more with you on this, because at the end, responsible AI is the future. It doesn't matter how many new AI agents coming up or how many breakthroughs we're going to make in this AI space, but we still need to make sure that we are not just making LLM models biased to certain communities, certain ways and stuff. We always have to make sure that we are getting results that's going to actually help the community, society, instead of misleading them. So yeah, I mean, thanks for all your perspective. Just to wrap up our podcast, I would like to kind of like hear your thoughts, or maybe if you can share some sort of your expert advice to my listeners that how they can break into the AI agents. If somebody wants to build an AI agent, also wants to learn about this particular AI space, how they start, where they start in their journey?
Yeah, the most important thing I think is that we have more people tinkering in AI, more people trying things out on their own terms, not just using the black boxes that are given to you by, the companies. Just like, oh, look, Notebook LLM is out. I want to try that out and listen to its podcasts. Or, oh, look, Anthropic just released computer use. I want to try that out. Or, DeepSeek just emerged. I want to do X, Y, Z. But almost trying to anticipate or like experiment towards that. And that sounds intimidating. I get it, because I'm not an engineer. I am an engineer, but I can imagine a lot of people saying, I'm not an engineer. I'm not a coder. I'm not used to how this stuff works. But the cool thing about AI is that AI in itself is giving people the tools to be closer to the engineering world, to be closer to being able to tinker and experiment. People might have heard of, what's called vibe coding, which is where, you just basically prompt the AI to produce code, which then could be out there as this app that you created. And as long as people realize that, there's always going to be, beyond this vibe coding idea, there needs to be serious engineering for a serious app, especially one that's not going to cause harms and that's going to serve multiple audiences, etc. But there's nothing wrong with experimenting. And there are a lot of AI capabilities that you can get just with, whatever a computer that you use to check email. And increasingly, whatever phone you use, you carry around with you, you can have AI agents running on those, and you can experiment with how to get stuff running on them. So it's really experimentation. There are a lot of tools out there that will allow you to, experiment. Just to throw out one name, Windsurf, will let you experiment with describing apps in for iOS and for Android, and it will actually generate simple versions of those apps for you. And there are lots of tools like that out here, and I just recommend that people try things out, because the more they try them out, the more they just kind of understand, not just what you're being drip fed by the large AI labs, but you're starting to understand kind of how does AI quote unquote think, how does it work, what are some of the trends that we're going to start turning into the next big announcements. Get your hands dirty, basically. Find friends, collaborate together. Computer clubs were all the rage back in the late 70s and early 80s. Those computer clubs led to the likes of, Apple Computer and, the Commodore, et cetera. It's just people experimenting. A lot of them were not formal engineers. They were just people who were very interested in experimenting, and a lot of them just pretty much changed the world with the sorts of things they were developing. And we can do the same thing with AI, all of us, pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I love that the way you said, getting your hands dirty, and you also try to draw the analogy of from the 80s when the computer was really emerging and those computer clubs were around. Now we're going to start seeing all these AI clubs are popping up rapidly, since we are also going to start playing with the toys. And sometimes it just feels drinking from the fire hose, because yes, things that are happening on the same day. But that's why I think we all have to be more open about it, follow news channel articles, grow your professional network, and also join any of your local clubs to know more about what's going on in the AI world. So thanks, Uche, for your time. It was great having a chat with you and knowing more about the AI agents. I hope my listeners now understand better about what the AI agents are and where the technology is headed in the next few years. Any last words, Uche, anything else you want to say before we close this episode?
No, just, thanks for the opportunity to speak to your listeners. And, let's all keep treating each other well, because obviously, if we're in a world where we're treating each other well, then there's a good chance that we'll be able to figure out how to get AI, to not treat us badly. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, just be open-minded and be collaborative. And that's how we're going to take this AI journey together. And to my listeners, if you enjoyed this episode, please leave a rating and review and subscribe for more contents. Data Science with Sam will be back with another episode next month. Thank you.
Thanks.